The title of the sermon, as you will see, is Have You Any Right to Be Angry with God? And I start with saying there were four words that changed my life for the better. I hate you, God. Well, they say the essential element of any presentation is to grab your audience's attention from the off. And if that opening sentence doesn't grab your attention in the cosy surroundings of a church being spoken by a speaker you've never heard before, I'm not sure what will. However, I'm not starting this way to create shock or any kind of controversy. All I'm doing is simply repeating the title of a blog which I had read in my preparation for today. It was a title that certainly caught my attention, as I say, as I hope it has yours. And this blog was a recounting by the author of how in life's darkest moments he found himself in a small church speaking these words, I hate you, God, to a God he felt had let him down, had left him with unbearable pain and circumstances he just couldn't deal with. And although some of the points he made in his blog are questionable in terms of his view of God and God's character, it was a very honest account of his anger, and for the author was the start of a very real connection with God. Now, his story is not unique. There are many people out there, believers in God and those who don't believe, who readily set themselves up for a heart-to-heart with God and freely express anger at and with God. There is great pain and suffering in this world, and we all see it. We all experience it. To varying degrees, whether we're Christians or not, we struggle with the why question. This is especially true when that pain and suffering become very upfront and personal in our lives. In these times, it would seem reasonable to think, if God is so good, if he loves people, if he's all-powerful, then what's going on? Why is he allowing this? Why do good people suffer? Why do I have to suffer when I believe in him? How can I believe in a God who allows this to happen? Is God really good? Is he really in control? Or is he just playing games with us? Now, there are many people who have written on this subject, and although we'll consider some of this, there's far too much to uncover and discover in the short time we have today. However, as we're continuing our study in the book of Jonah, we reach the point where Jonah eventually gets his one-to-one with God and he gives them both barrels. The challenging part, however, is that we discover that Jonah's anger doesn't stem from the pain or suffering he sees or is subject to, but strangely and quite unimaginably, it stems from God doing something amazingly good. So we get to our reading this morning, and we're in the book of Jonah, and we're in chapter 4. If you have your Bibles handy, please feel free to open these. I think the words might come up on the screen. I need to just click that. But we're in Jonah chapter 4, and we're going to read from verses 1 to 6. Starting at verse 1. But to Jonah this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. But the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry? Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head, to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. I hope from the other sermons in this series that you will have come to realise what an amazing story and lesson Jonah is. It goes way beyond that simple Sunday school tale to something far deeper and more wonderful. In fact, in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 12, Jesus himself pointed the people to this account as a sign. So we really should consider it seriously. For many of us who are familiar with the story, we tend to read it knowing the beginning and the end. However, if you were reading this account for the first time, you would perhaps be perplexed by the behaviour of this man, Jonah. He's clearly someone who God has chosen and spoken directly to. And from other accounts of his life, someone who is willing to carry a message. However, on this occasion, the story takes us on this bizarre escape plan and suicidal mission by Jonah to evade what God has called him to do. Even though we see Jonah run away, be rescued by a sea creature sent by God, accept that he has done wrong, and then see an incredible and miraculous repentance by the people of Nineveh, we still have no real grasp for the reason Jonah did a runner. Chapter 4, however, is where it's all brought together. And we see not only Jonah's motives, but later in the chapter, we also see God's motives for this mission. But more importantly, we see a very clear contrast between Jonah's anger and God's compassion. The story started with Jonah trying to go west to Tarshish, as far as he could go from God's call to go east to Nineveh. The geography was probably the furthest reaches of the known world at that time. But Jonah has now been brought to the place God called him geographically, but his heart is still as far west from God's heart as to the east, so to speak. Chapter 4 is the reveal. It's the epilogue of this tumultuous tale as we find Jonah and God in a one-to-one discourse. But Jonah is not in a state of humility at all at what has just gone before. No, he's in an absolute rage. As we see in verse 1, it starts, "But to Jonah this seemed very wrong, and he became angry." Now, before we remind ourselves of what it was that made Jonah angry, it's worth considering the state of his anger. Now, I read from the NIV translation this morning, and it's slightly tame in expressing Jonah's position. It's all too easy just to consider Jonah as some kind of surly huffy pants who didn't get his own way. His level of anger is expressed more strongly in other translations. The Amplified Bible puts it that it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And the Message Bible simply puts it that Jonah was furious. He lost his temper, and he yelled at God. So what's caused this rage? Well, we would need to go to the end of chapter 3 and read verse 10. There we read that when God saw what they did and they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. Jonah has just witnessed the greatest city on earth, the greatest enemy of his people and threat to all around, known for violence and many evil acts, repent of their sin in an instant and call on the name of God to show them mercy. Now, it's really hard to put any kind of scale or context to this to do it justice, but it would be somewhat like a Christian evangelist being sent into Iraq at the height of ISIS grip on Mosul and calling them to repent and them instantly doing so. But rather than praising God, Jonah continues in his anger to accuse God in chapter 4, verse 2. There we read, he prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity." We see in Jonah's words a man who knew God and knew God's word. He's quoting here from God's own testimony of his character in Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. And this is where Moses is preparing to receive the Ten Commandments for a second time. The words Jonah uses in his anger would normally be considered praise language. But with the anger being expressed, they're indicative of a disconnect between Jonah's knowledge and his heart. At last, however, we see Jonah's motive for running away. He did not want to see the enemy of his people saved, and he knew it was the character of God to be gracious, loving, and merciful. And therefore, there was every chance the people of Nineveh were going to get off the hook. The reality of this is just too much for Jonah, and he determines that he is better off dead, calling on God to take his life, as we see in verse 3. By now, you might think that God would have had enough of Jonah. But instead, we are continuing to see the contrast between Jonah's anger and God's compassion. Instead of punishment, God continues to take care of Jonah and provides a plant to give shade and comfort from the scorching sun. And probably for the first time in this book, we actually hear that Jonah is very happy, as we see it in verse 6. But God's not pandering to Jonah. He has a point to prove. God's response to Jonah's anger is intended to get to the very heart of Jonah's main problem. And I'm going to suggest, probably ours too. In verse 4, we read, "But the Lord replied, 'Is it right for you to be angry?' Other translations put that, 'Do you do well to be angry?'" The important thing to understand is that God is not opening up a debate with Jonah. This is more of a rebuke from God to Jonah, because Jonah's problem is not anger in itself, but that he has directed his anger at God. He's angry with God for what has happened. Now, I've entitled this sermon, "Have You Any Right to Be Angry with God?" And from what I've just said, the answer is no. However, even if this early conclusion might be satisfactory to many of you seeking an early escape, it doesn't provide a satisfactory answer to why so many people today feel that it's okay to be angry with God, and in what context that's considered appropriate. Nor does it answer, if we're honest, why many of us will experience these feelings and challenges in our own lives. So let's try and unpick some of the key elements of this challenging issue. So let me ask you the question, have you any right to be angry with God? In answering this, we first need to consider what we mean by anger. Anger, in the dictionary, is defined as a strong feeling of annoyance, displeasure, or hostility. To be expressed or felt, anger has to have an object of annoyance, displeasure, or hostility. Now, that's either a thing or a person. Now, being angry with a thing does not contain any indignation at a choice or an act. We're simply angry with the effect of the thing. For example, the temperamental laptop or the car that won't start. All too familiar, I have to say. But anger with a person is directed to the choice that they make or the thing that they do. It's stating that they have, in our opinion, done something wrong and it should not have been done. It's clearly stating they've failed. So, if we express our anger with or at God, then effectively what we are saying is, you have failed God, you are wrong. Now, the next thing to consider is, what reasons might someone have for being angry with God? Now, I'm going to suggest straight away that it stems from a wrong understanding and expectations. In some ways, it's maybe easier to see the reasons for anyone who is not a Christian or a believer in God expressing anger, even hatred, towards God, if he even exists, as they may say. Anger is born from flawed expectations, knowledge and belief, and what they think God should be doing or not doing. Those who usually express anger at God would do so from an expectation that he should be good, never letting bad things happen, or he should not interfere in how they or others want to live their lives. Now, the position of a non-Christian and being angry with God is perhaps more understandable, given their lack of understanding of who he is and what he has done. But the irony is that their expression of hating God is actually very honest and clearly biblical, even if it's not expressed as a confession or for the reasons that they think. But what we see from Jonah is a warning to those who do believe in God and his son and claim the title Christian, and how we can find ourselves expressing anger at and with God for what's happening in our lives. Jonah was flawed in his application and acceptance of God's love to anyone other than himself and his own people. He didn't want to witness where God was sending him. He expected God to destroy his enemy, not to save them. Only he and his people should benefit from God's compassion, grace, abounding love and mercy. For Jonah, Nineveh was a very real place. But perhaps we need to consider it as a metaphor for the people, places or circumstances God is calling us to witness for him, and perhaps the reasons for the anger we may have with God for doing so. So let me ask you another question. Where is your Nineveh? Is it people we struggle with? Do we struggle like Jonah with wanting some people punished more than saved? And if we're honest, are some people not good enough in our eyes? Are there places we struggle with? Is our workplace a difficult place to be? Is our town or our street filled with people who are beyond reaching in our minds? Are there circumstances we struggle with? Our health, the health of our loved ones, issues and brokenness in our families, friendships lost, or the pain and consequences of bereavement. It's so easy to fall into the characteristics of God that suit us and meet our needs. We want his goodness in our lives and the lives of those we love. But what about those we don't? Our Nineveh may manifest in many different places, situations, or people. Like Jonah, we don't want to go there. We don't want to be his witness there. But we don't get to choose where we witness for God. In our own Nineveh, God will have plans for someone, and even if it's that person we really struggle with. Like Jonah, we can know God's word, but not share his heart. In not sharing God's heart, we can suffer from legalistic or religious obedience. This is tiresome, self-centred, and eventually will lead to anger, resentment, and disobedience, as we can see from Jonah and his determination that he's better off dead. Now, this was something that Jesus regularly rebuked and challenged the religious leaders of his time for searching and knowing scriptures, but not recognising him, the one the scriptures points to, as we see in John chapter 5. They were also guilty of worshipping God with their lips and the rules of men, but their hearts being far from God, as we see in Mark chapter 7. In difficult times and situations, we can so easily become angry with God for having to go through them. We can feel, even believe, that God has failed or is wrong. But have we any right to be angry with God? But you may ask, what do I do when I feel angry and want answers and don't want to face difficulties, or I feel that God has given up on me? To pretend that we don't, or that we can shut off our emotions, would be a lie and hypocritical. We do feel them, and we need to express how we are feeling, good or bad, to God, and if necessary, apologise when we point the finger at him. We can't lie to God. He knows every thought. But if we speak to him, we confess these issues to him, he will deal with us and care for us and give us the strength, the peace and the comfort that we need. If we look to the Bible to correctly understand the nature and the character of God, we'll clearly see that he is without fault and he certainly doesn't get things wrong. In fact, he is completely upfront about what we can expect and in many cases why things happen. God wants the best for us. The Bible is very clear on that. But even though he loves and he blesses us, he is not there to serve us. He didn't pretend that this life would be easy and comfortable. The Bible is also very clear on that. And if time permitted, we could cover this in greater detail. But I hope that this is something that you will take your own time and your own study to consider more closely and look at what the Bible has to say about these issues. However, to summarise, we only need to look at Jonah's description of God's character in verse 2. Now, I would say there's a sermon on each of these, but you're okay, I'm not going to go into that level of detail just now. But it's important to remember that we have a God who is gracious. the God who gives us the good things we don't deserve. We have a God who is compassionate, a God who sees beyond our mess, a God who has pity and concern for us in our suffering. We have a God who is slow to anger. His judgment, although deserved, is not immediate. And even Nineveh got 40 days warning of what was going to happen. We have a God who is abounding in love. More than that, the Bible says God is love. It's not just something he shows. And we have a God who is merciful. We have a God who doesn't give us what we do deserve for our behaviour. All of these characteristics we see manifest in Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, you may well have issues with this God I'm speaking about. You may look at your own life or those around you and you'll see pain, you see suffering and circumstances that make you angry and question everything I've said. Or you may be a Christian struggling with many questions and anger with God. In both cases, I simply want to state the following. We have a God who walked the walk himself when he stepped into this world and experienced life as we do through his Son, Jesus Christ. He himself came to a place which was filled with people so bad and so without any thought of him. He suffered loss and pain throughout his life. And he eventually gave his life for those who despised and rejected him. How can we be angry with a God who gave everything for us to bring us back into a relationship with him? He gave everything to save us from everlasting punishment, pain and suffering. We will never, never fully grasp the price he paid for us. But we do well to take time and consider just how much he has done for us. How richly we are blessed and cared for, even when we are messing things up. He owes us nothing. And yet he abundantly and graciously gives his life and more than that, eternal life, free from the penalty our sins deserve. So, do we do well to be angry with God? Let me draw this to a conclusion. I hope that we understand the answer is no. He is never wrong. He never fails. He is gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love, and merciful. He wants us to share that same heart for all people wherever they are. He's the one who stepped into this broken world at great cost and paid the price that we could never pay. And if you're not a Christian, someone who has never come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Saviour, he's the God calling you to come to him through Jesus Christ and through turning from your ways and understanding to his way. But we who are in Christ are beneficiaries of that beautiful and gracious heart. I pray that we will all reflect on what that really means. And wherever our Nineveh may be, I pray that we will share in the heart of God for the people we find there. Amen.